Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But hold your calls, please, because we have with us a special guest. His name is Kirk Billings, and we're going to be talking about his experiences with the paranormal. Now, that sounds a little far out, but I think you'll be fascinated by what our guest has to say, because he comes from a CIA family, and, of course, he's had an opportunity to delve into the dark forces that certain elements within our government are tapping into in their effort to, of course, control the world. So tell us, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Well, that's an easy thing to do in a couple of minutes, but I'm a CIA brat. I grew up around the Central Intelligence Agency. My dad trained assassins for the government for domestic and youth, and hopefully I'm getting feedback into my ear. Hopefully it's not coming through my head.
No, you sound very good.
Okay. Then I'll take it off to the phone line. Anyway, I am spent a lot of time from military to military base, seeing a lot of the different projects that the Central Intelligence Agency was doing, including the bringing over on Operation Paperclip of the Nazi doctors and Nazi doctors training the CIA for different projects such as MKUltra, MKNaomi, and others.
Now, I think what people have to realize is that after the Second World War, of course, you heard about the Nuremberg trials. What you didn't hear, that an awful lot of the worst of the Nazis were either brought here to America or we helped them to go to into South America. That was known as Operation Paperclip. And the fact that most Americans have never heard that really reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think, because the American people have never realized that there were powerful and evil forces in America that promoted the Nazi movement and then have set out to destroy the Nazi movement. But, of course, the real purpose of the war was to expand government control of our lives and to begin to move towards this United Nations and the New World Order and the New World Religion. So did you ever meet any of the Nazi doctors who were brought here under Operation Paperclip?
Yes. I want to clarify something really quick. Before the war, in eugenics, which was funded by the Rockefeller Family and Foundation and Rothschilds and a lot of the Illuminati, which started Kaiser Wilhelm and Institute and Tavistock, you had Tavistock. Kaiser Wilhelm is what trained Joseph Mengele, Heinrich Mueller, and other people.
And that was in Berlin. That was the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Eugenic Research, right?
Correct. And
Tavistock was in England.
Tavistock was in England, and then it moved to America. And Tavistock wrote a lot of the curriculum guidelines, including every student needs to be brainwashed.
Right. And of course, they have their counterpart up here at Stanford in Stanford Research.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So most people don't know that Joseph Mengele worked for the Rockefeller Foundation as their ambassador to eugenics for Kaiser Wilhelm. And that was one of the reasons why they brought him over during Operation Paperclip. And if you want some more information on Operation Paperclip, you can go and look up the radiation experiments, the testimonies before the House and Senate, and it goes into Operation Paperclip and the bringing over of Joseph Mengele and other of the Nazi doctors.
Now, where is that? How could people get access to that?
You can catch that on the web. Just hit a search unit on the radiation experiments.
The radiation experiments.
And what I'll do is I'll throw a link up on my website, which is psychops.com, psychops.com. and I'll put a link up somewhere on the front page to the radiation experiment sometime tonight.
All right, if you would, please. And for our listeners, any of you would like to get into Operation Paperclip, certainly the book we carry, Medusa File, has a section on that. It's very superficial. There are many books. Operation Paperclip, the Search for the Nazi Doctors is a book. They're out of print. They're hard to get. But Medusa File, which we carry now, does have a segment on that. And I've actually talked to about three people who actually had a chance to meet Dr. Mengele. How did you meet Mengele?
I was at the officers' mess. It was noonish. My dad took me in for lunch. My uncle was a full bird colonel, and I had another uncle who was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force who was in the group that was running Mengele around. And
what year was that event?
That was in the early 60s.
Okay, fine.
to be specific, I was young. I was probably about 5 years old.
Okay, fine.
So here he is in lunch and at the table, and we're introduced, and you can feel the coldness and the death off him. I was five, but boy, you could sure tell.
He was known as the angel of death in the Nazi prison camps, one of the most vicious of the Nazi monsters, you might call it. And you'd say, why would they bring him here? Well, he had important information. And, of course, he was deeply involved with the occult and knew how, of course, to tap into these dark forces. And if you doubt that this is going on, you really need to, of course, to get some of our recent interviews with people who have been trying to deprogram these people involved in the occult. And we really should put together a 4-tape set on it. We certainly have enough interviews, and we'll be glad to make them available. If you just call and ask for the occult tape set, we'll be making that up in the near future. But these are not imaginary things.
Absolutely not.
These things are going on. In fact, we have a great new video. It's actually a fictionalized account of how the government is tapping in to these dark spiritual forces. It's called Deceived, but I will tell you, it's got Lou Kossuth Jr. and a great video of you. And what a real exciting entertainment based upon the truth of what's going on. That's the movie Deceived, just out recently, and we recommend that strongly to you. So anyway, of course, you had an opportunity through your family to meet a lot of these people and to begin to sense that they were into something very dark, didn't
you? Absolutely. My family was generational Masonic and generational witchcraft for seven generations.
Really? I hope you've been delivered from that.
Absolutely.
Because I'll tell you what, this does go on from generation to generation to generation, and there really are people into Satanism and witchcraft right here in America. Unfortunately, some of them are working at the highest echelons, not only of our government, but even within the church itself. Well, right now we're going to have to take a break, and this is the time when we want to mention that if you would like to help Radio Liberty, one of the things that you can do so that we can, of course, continue expanding our coverage across America as we try to bring people to an understanding of the fact that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, military, educational battlefield, why you can change your long-distance carrier. And you can actually call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. And change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. They do an excellent job. I know the people. They use long-distance carriers that are Christian rather than many of the other long-distance carriers are now using ATT or MCI. And so we ask you to give them a call at 866-448-5631 and just mention that you heard about it here on Radio Liberty, and 15% of your long-distance calls will come back to help our ministry. And then, of course, if you have children or grandchildren that are in government schools, we hope that many of you will decide right now that you're going to get them a Phonopoly game. Now, Phonopoly is not a single game. It's five board games played like Monopoly, but designed to teach children how to read and speak and spell phonetically. And, of course, you have to understand the whole idea of education has been to indoctrinate our children, to dumb them down, and not to teach them to read, but teach them not to read properly so that their mind doesn't function correctly. And you can actually begin to reprogram their mind with this Phonopoly set. You can teach them, the various sounds. You can teach them to sound out words. You can teach them the 12 basic rules of the English language. And in about 20 hours, you can begin to reprogram their minds. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a Phenopoly game. Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study. And it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Well, Dr. Stan and our guest this afternoon is Kirk Billings, and we're talking about his experiences and how he came to begin to study the dark side. Go ahead, Kirk.
Well, after getting out of many, many years of a cult, I became a Christian back many, many, many years ago, and I've been saved now for many years and have been working now 20-plus years with survivors of satanic cultural abuse, mind control, MK Ultra projects and Marionette Monarch and all the other sub projects, and I've been researching this for many years, and wrote a book on the schools called A Generation Deceived that came out in the early 70s that talked about our kids being brainwashed and caught up in Satanism and the occult, and I've got a book coming out soon on the mark of the beast and how mind control and government experiments are being done on the general public every day. It includes the microchipping of the general public, and it goes into the laws, such as the 1986 Immigration and Control Act, which gives the government the right to implant a chip in the hand or the forehead without parental consent or even notifying people. I also go into, on my website, a lot of the patents for the microchips. This is one which is U.S. 9597741, which is a living tissue implant with electronic transponder marker. One of the patents under this is owned by the United Nations, and this is a chip that they're slipping in during surgery, and they have been since the mid-70s. So you go to the hospital, you think you're getting the surgery, and all of a sudden you're having symptoms of hearing voices. And
no, wait a minute, because I'm a surgeon for many years, and nothing like that ever happened in our operating rooms.
Well, I'm glad, but I do have x-rays of military and non-military people who were getting chipped. And
well, can you actually prove that? Can you actually show me documentation of that?
Yeah, besides the patents, yes.
Well, we know the patents are there, but you know, actually put them into people. We know that Tim McVey said he got one, and they may very well be using them on the military, but civilian population, that's a little hard to believe.
Actually, I have right now 5 sets of x-rays for people that got them in civilian population. 3 of them are over 30 years old, the chips. So, yes, and I have stuff that they're doing it now with no problem. Time magazine talks about people being microchipped when they're born in a hospital in Virginia. This is August 9th, 1999, issue 154, volume 6, called Cradle Connections. And as of 1999, every baby born in the hospital in Virginia is getting microchipped.
Do you have the page number on that article?
I'm looking here. Shoot. It's in the back. It's under the law section.
All right, fine.
And it's August 9th, 1999, volume 154, number 6. It's Cradle Connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up on my website.
All right, fine. And so that's, you're up on your website at
psychops.com.
Right.
There are several laws that are up on it right now. which gives the government the right. The 1986 Immigration Control Act is really, really hard to get a hold of, but you can get a newspaper article, excuse me, called Electronic Leash. It's from the Tucson Weekly. It's from Tucson, Arizona. You can get it from the Tucson Library, and it's Tucson, and it's June 15th to the 21st, 1994, Electronic Leash, and it goes through the 1986 Immigration and Control Act, which gives the government the right to implant a microchip. There's also in the Washington Times, October 11th, 1993, by Martin Anderson, when they passed the Health Card Act, the Clintons did, at the beginning of their realm, they decided that people could counterfeit the card or steal it, so they put a law in which passed both the House and Senate to give them the right to, when they make a national ID card or health card mandatory, that they implant a chip in the hand or the forehead.
But they didn't get that law.
Yes, they did.
Well, where is it?
It's talked about in Washington Times article.
Well, I know, but they may have wanted to do that, but you know, they didn't get their national ID card.
It was a public law. It was done by, and I have to go get the number on it. I'm looking for it right now.
Well, the thing is that they're not, Kurt, they're not putting chips into most people at the present time. I mean, I know a few people. We do have an article that goes into the fact that there's some people in Europe that have taken them, even some people in America that have taken them voluntarily, but they're not putting them into people every day here in America.
I have got an affidavit from a mother in Nevada who had a child in the hospital, brought the child back in because the soft spot was getting infected. The doctor said, oh, the chip went in wrong, got infected, and pulled it out in front of her and put it back in. I have got statements from
But is it true? I mean, she could say that, but is it true?
Affidavit under penalty of perjury. You know, I wasn't in her doctor's appointment, but it is true as far as I know.
Okay, well, that sounds a little far out. That you know, I have no question at all that they want to do some of these things, but the fact that they're doing them at the present time, you know, is something I think that most people find a little hard to believe.
This is Timothy. You talked about Timothy McVeigh, Tulsa World Weekly, Tulsa World, excuse me, 4/20/95. It goes into his military record showing he was chipped in Desert Storm, and said that most of the military that went over there was second flu shot was a microchip. Here's the Arizona Republic, 1989 copyright. It's called the KidScan program. This is Tuesday, July 20th, 1989. This is page B1, State and Valley. And this is an article about the KidScan program where they microchipped 5,000 kids in Florida in 1989.
And I see. Did they do that with their knowledge, with the parents' acceptance?
Yes,
or not?
Those were with parent personal
right.
knowledge.
I mean, I know that they have actually used these things on some people voluntarily.
Yes.
There were 5,000 people that actually gave permission to have their children get a chip in them?
Yes, in Florida in 1989.
And you actually have these articles?
Yeah. You can go. You can still get them from the library.
Well, I will call you afterwards and ask you to send me copies of those, because I find that some of these things sound, you know, it's a little hard to believe. I have no question that they want to chip people. We certainly know that they have a real organized effort in veterinarians' office to talk people into chipping their dogs. We know that they're chipping cattle now, so they don't have to brand them. And we know that they want to, of course, chip people. And we know they've experimented with people, but go ahead.
Well, from the Times UK. This is in London. And this is the kidnapping chip. And they have had 1,400 people chipped in Europe and in New Zealand.
All right. Well, I know that that last time I heard that they were chipping people so they couldn't be so they could not be kidnapped, because if you have one of these chips in, they can actually follow you along. And it sounds like such a good idea. You know, after all, you know, if you have a chip in, then of course the government will know exactly where you are. But of course, even if you haven't been kidnapped, they'll know exactly where you are.
Absolutely, within 10 feet. The latest technology, the chip is 1/200th the size of a hair, and it's completely biological. So it shoots through a vaccination needle.
And, of course, this is really what is so concerning to me. I know they have this technology, and I know that they are passing a law in Sacramento today, or they're working on this, it was to be heard, the first hearing on this, where they would be have mandatory vaccination of people because of the threat of a biological attack. But, of course, they won't tell us what sort of organism they're going to use, and they're actually pushing this thing through in 36 states, and 7 more states are considering it, for mandatory vaccination, and people who refuse, of course, will be cited for a violation of the law, misdemeanor,
and can actually be isolated, and
they can forfeit everything they have, you know, for refusing to be injected. I would think that the government would be there to protect our lives rather than force us to be vaccinated. So certainly we know that there is another agenda behind this law. It is called the Model Emergency Health Powers Act.
There's a thing on my website under the bulletin board, under Jack McLam, posted the website where you can go check the states out. Wisconsin has passed it.
Right.
And then there's a lot of other states that are joining behind them. One of the things that I find very interesting, this is a government website, and this is the Department of Energy's website. The Department of Energy, up until about 6 months ago, had this website up, and I've got copies of it. It's actually up on my website, the front page. And this is Partnership to Develop Biochip Technologies, and it talks about the mass producing of the biochip with our tax dollar, the microchip, and they talk about the health issues of it, but Motorola, Packard Bell, Argonne Corporation mass-produced this, and it's a joint action with the Soviet Union. That's an interesting little piece.
Well, of course, we've been working with the Soviet Union since about 1918, and anybody who doubts that needs to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have financed the Soviet Union constantly under one guise or another and repeatedly written off their loans. The idea that communism was the enemy was the justification for ever more government control over our lives. And if that sounds ridiculous, just ask yourself, why are we still loaning so much money to Russia? Why are we giving so much money to China and extending them loans and then writing off the loans when they don't pay them back? Is there another agenda behind what's going on today? And we're going to have to take another quick break, and we certainly want to mention that Radio Liberty is carrying the Miracle 2 soap products. And we've had so many people who've been very, very pleased with these products that we hope that many of you will at least want to consider getting more information. If you'd like information on Miracle 2 soap products, the soap, the moisturizing soap, the neutralizer, the gel, the lotion, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARREN. We'll be glad to send you information. Or if you'd like to get an introductory set of all the items, why, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WARREN. You can order them. Certainly, we've had many, many people who've felt that it's really helped them. And I know my wife's heartburn has at least been considerably relieved with the various products. And, well, some people claim it's helped their rashes. We're not making any claims. We just say give it a try and see if it helps you. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, if you'd like to really understand what's going on today and the medical emergency or this Model Emergency Health Powers Act, we have a 4-tape set. It's called the Office of Homeland Security, and there's 3 tapes on the Office of Homeland Security. They're going to put out $38 billion on this program, of course, to protect us from terrorism. And then one excellent interview with Jane Orient on the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. You better understand what's coming down the line because they want to give everybody a forced vaccination. And, of course, they won't even tell us what they're vaccinating is for. Smallpox? When you do that on the skin, that's not a vaccine. That's a very, very superficial vaccination. Or anthrax, they're going to be able to force everybody to take the shot. And I will tell you, in another country, these shots have had very deleterious effects. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. This is a fascinating 4-tape set. Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because
people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Kurt Billings, and he's talking about, of course, his plan to microchip everybody in America. And, of course, there's a prophetic significance to this. And would this really happen in America? I believe it could. I believe it is happening. I know everything is in place. I know that they have inserted some chips into some people. The question is, how far have they gone? I think that Kurt's information is very, very fascinating, and we're going to check all of this out for you, because if they really have put them into a large numbers of children, of course, with the parents' permission, why, I think that the public should know how far we are along towards what is prophesied in Revelation 13. So go ahead, pick up the story from there, Kurt.
Well, let me throw another law. This is Public Law 105-230. Now, this is a order, an edict from Clinton. Now, public laws don't have to be, they're like presidential orders. They do not have to be voted on by the House and Senate. But this one was, it was ratified by the House and Senate August 13, 1989. I'm holding part of the public law. This is the Bioassurance Act. Now, this law makes it so the bench, once upon a time, let's start from a little background. When you went in to get your vaccination, you had to sign a release because of kids getting sick or from the mercury or other things in the vaccinations, and you know, a certain percentage would have problems. Well, as of supposedly 1989, this is the law I'm holding in front of me, it holds the vaccination manufacturers and the manufacturers of biological implants, as in microchips, blameless. So if somebody dies because of it, they can't sue the vaccination company. This is Public Law 105-230. 11 USC-1604, which is the laws that are put in, and it it's Section 6, and it talks about that the manufacturer of an implant, as provided, can is not be held liable or harm of the implant.
Well, I know that they actually have passed that law that you have no recourse if give your child a vaccine, and then, of course, there's a horrible reaction where the child dies. And, of course, some of these lots of vaccine are extremely, extremely toxic. And instead of trying them out on small numbers of people, they use them on millions of people. We know very well that there have been a number of children who've had severe reactions to hepatitis B. But what they did is they said, well, we'll set up a federal fund, and then you can sue the government and try to get the money from the fund. Well, lots of luck, ladies and gentlemen, and an awful lot of people with dead children who've tried to sue. And, of course, where are you going to get a lawyer that's going to sue the government?
And
of course, it just
impossible.
Doesn't work. And I didn't realize that it also included the chips in that, but
yes.
I think that's so interesting. Obviously, long-range planning for what lies ahead, and people say, well, they would never do anything like that. Let me tell you that in the Philippines and in South America and in Kenya, they put material into the tetanus vaccine given to women so they could never conceive. And they didn't tell them. And who are they going to sue? The World Health Organization? And in Kenya and in the Philippines today, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of children, girls and women who will never have a baby because of that. And the fact you haven't heard that in America reflects the degree of control that exists today over the American, over the media, and ultimately over what the American people think. Go ahead, Kurt.
Here, well, let me go. I'll do the patents here in a second. This is from St. Peter's, Missouri, St. Peter's Journal. This is March 3rd, 1996. This is, I'm going to summarize this. St. Peter's, Missouri, the mayor went before the city town council and offered 1996 to implant everybody in St. Peter's, Missouri, and he had the means to do this with two chips, one in each hand, one to hook up to the satellite system LEO, so that you could talk to your hand. It would be just like talking to a telephone, and the other one was a tracking chip. They wanted to be the first city in the country to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little interesting piece to show how actually prevalent the chips are and how quickly somebody could get them. Luckily, he got shot down.
I assume they did not...
He almost got thrown out of office, but yes, he had the wherewithal to do it. So it could be done if a town wanted to do it. This is two of the patents from Digital Angel and the latest microchips. These aren't that new of patents, though, you'll see. US 00562967 8A.
Well, we know that Digital Angel certainly has patented these implantable chips, and these they have several chips, actually. One is not very sophisticated, but the other one is really frightening.
Yeah, this one is trackable by satellite,
right.
And the patent was in 1995 when they patented it. The other one is trackable by satellite also, and this is one out of Boca Raton, Florida, and it was patented in January 1987. It's 4706689.
Well, yeah, I think the interesting thing is the American people would never have accepted a lot of these things had it not been for the terrorist attack on the 11th of September of last year. And because of that attack, now, of course, the people are willing to accept an awful lot of things in the name of protecting us from the wicked terrorists.
Absolutely. It's a scare tactic to sign everybody up for their national health ID card. And it's something that is almost truly amazing to me how quickly the signs are. If you looked about a month ago, they had the commercial every day for 4 days running on CNN. And I guess they did it on Good Morning America and Today's Show last week, where they had the manufacturers the microchip on, and they were all saying, "Hey, Katie Couric and all the people are putting out their arm to get the chip because they want it so bad so that they can't get lost if another terrorist attack." And these shows, network after network, is endorsing the microchip.
I remember the ad, and many of our listeners may have seen it. It showed this young man at a grocery store with his big, long black coat on, and he's going up and down the aisles very surreptitiously stuffing things into this big overcoat, and then he starts to walk out the door. And you know he's going to get caught because he's stealing all this material. And the clerk rushes up to him and says, sir, stop. You forgot your receipt. And, of course, all of this has been done electronically. Everything has been monitored. They even know who he is as he's leaving the store with all of this material. And people say, what was that all about? That is exactly what they're planned. Of course, they know who he is because he has a chip in him, and they're able to record everything. And if you think that's science fiction, ladies and gentlemen, they have the ability to do what they have. They have new computers that will do over a trillion functions a second.
Absolutely. One of the things that I have over the years, I've talked with Navy SEALs and Special Forces, and a lot of the elite soldiers have been implanted with microchips, one in the back of the neck or in the hand, which they carry their records and are able to communicate with their soldiers in the field. And I had a colonel over at, I was touring with preparedness, was in 1999, and I was touring with preparedness, and I was talking about the chips that they were implanting and the SEALs in the back of the neck and the Special Forces, and I was, we were flying around, and we saw some of the military people scan their hand over the scanner when they were walking through for their ticket, and this was back in 1999. And I talked about it on stage at preparedness in Philadelphia, and this colonel came up to me who happens to be one of the analysts for one of the major networks. I'm not even going to go into his name, but he tried to read me the Riot Act, saying I was giving away national secrets that I shouldn't be talking about. And I said, well, you can go to the Internet and look up the patents where you can talk to those guys in the field through their microchip. And he said, yes, we're using them. We've been using them since mid-70s in the military. So, and I've talked to a lot of Navy SEALs who have it in the back of their neck, and they're pulling them out.
Okay, anything? What else?
Well, you want to change directions?
Okay, let's change directions.
Okay. I had referred to Tavistock and some of the schooling. I pulled out several of my school documents since I've got a few minutes here. Tavistock wrote, when they pulled Pratt out of the school in 1962, Tavistock wrote the issues in teachers' training. and this is the values that they were going to put in. This is written by our tax dollars, National Training Laboratory, which is part of Tavistock, National Education Association, NEA, nice group, yeah, which a lot of our tax dollars go to, whether we like it or not, which National Teachers Union. On Book 5, Issues in Teachers Training, page 47, Editor's Notes, top of the page, Human Relations Training fits into the context of institutional influence procedure, which include coercion, persuasion, and thought reform. It's, you see, every child needs to be brainwashed.
Well, they're certainly doing a good job of it here in the United States today. And, of course, one of the major functions is to destroy the child's faith in God. And, of course, once you destroy their faith in God, they'll be open to the occult.
Absolutely. This is a curriculum manual. It's all the way up and down the West Coast. This one is from the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction in Washington. This is a 1988 teacher's manual. This is still being used. I still get, every time I use this on the radio, everybody calls me, oh, that's still in. It's the Modern Japan Idea Book, K through 12. This is a teacher's guide. I'm going to read you two quick exercises to give. This is page one, and it says, level, upper elementary, acceptable for other grades. Objective, students will use a variety of ideas for writing. This is English. Materials, copy of the Japanese temple fortune, horoscope section of the daily newspaper. This is time limit, 1 hour. Proceed. Procedure. Brainstorm with students ways people try to know their fortune. Fortune telling, fortune cookies, palm reading, crystal balls, tarot cards, horoscope, and so on. Introduction 101 to occult, just like you were talking about. You know, it's...
No, this is what was being suggested then for the teachers in some of the schools?
This is the actual curriculum manual I'm reading out of.
All right, well, I'm not surprised. We've actually talked to people who, where they actually were using the schools to program the children in the dark side. Let's go to Spencer, who's calling us from Ohio. Hi, Spencer. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. You have such an interesting program. I had to ask this question. Since the Mark of the Beast has been in the world for such a long time, who does your guest think may have been the first person to receive it?
I have no idea. Probably one of the scientists developing it. Hughes Aircraft had been working on the microchip along with the military for a long time. The first microchips were used in the MKUltra project in 1962. They were called Stenmost. And actually, probably just before that, they were using it in the... Dr. Jose Delgado was doing Stenmost back in... the late 50s, early 60s. So,
okay, we really don't know. Do you know, Spencer?
Wasn't the Unabomber at Harvard in 1962? And McVeigh, you take Timothy Leary, Jim Jones, Jack Ruby, Lee Harvey, Sirhan.
Well, certainly we know that Kaczynski actually was involved in an MKUltra mind control project, and actually he had taken some of their crazy drugs, which, of course, I think he got his mind way out of kilter. Hey, we're out of time. Going to have to take a break.
Thank you.
Thanks so very much, Spencer. And right now, of course, most people don't know that Ted Kaczynski actually was involved in one of these MKUltra programs, and, of course, he became the Unabomber. Well, right now, of course, we want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And, of course, we're 2 hours a day on shortwave, 3 hours a day on satellite, 5 hours a day on the Internet. Our Saturday program goes to 15 different stations, and we have other stations all during the week, major radio stations, pulling down our programs, American Christian Network, Sunshine Network, Radio Liberty Network, American Freedom Network, Genesis Network. We have an outreach, but believe me, it's expensive, and quite frankly, we need your help. If you think there's a problem, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us do what we do to try to reach out across America, and we have a unique opportunity, we have a voice, and as long as God gives us that voice, we need to use it, but, well, we could sure use your help. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, we'll send you the four best tapes of the month, we'll send you our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us. And, of course, you can go up to our website and read our newsletters there. We post them shortly after they're finished. And we encourage you to pull them down and copy them if you're not already a member or a subscriber to our newsletter. We welcome your copying our programs and giving them to friends. We have to reach as many people as we can and make them realize what's happening. And what is happening is they're using fear of terrorism to justify draconian expansion of government control and, of course, control over the lives of every American. And when they talk about the fact that they have a vial with the name of every American on it for an injection, you can't help but wonder what may be in that vial. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest is Kurt Billings, and we're going to be talking about, Kurt, what do you want to go on to now?
Well, let me do another one piece from the schools. This is from my book called A Generation Deceived. This is from a teacher workshop. You were talking about the deeper side. They were, this is in 1986. This is up in Washington. This is Antioch College. It's paid for by tax dollars. This was a teacher's workshop for continuing education so the teachers get their degrees from this. This is a workshop in witchcraft and how to bring the coven meeting and witchcraft to the classroom. This is paid for by tax dollars, so let me give you some of the lectures. Women's spirituality, liberating ourselves and others through sexuality. These are things, great things to teach in the class. The visions of the goddess, the holy prostitute, reclaiming our magic by sex, magic, and politics. One of their leading people who was being paid for by the tax dollars is Miriam Starhawk, who's the leading spokesman of Wicca, White Witchcraft Association. She taught three or four of these classes, including women ritual bonding. And in that, she talks about how to have the coven meeting in your classroom. And they go through guided imagery visualization and bringing down the spirits.
Now, which schools were this being used in?
This was the teaching of teachers. This was put together by the National Education Association in Goals 2000.
Well, we know that there were actually some schools in the East where they were doing exactly what you're saying. And but, of course, this is they teach the teachers, and then the teachers go back and teach the students?
Absolutely. This was being used up in Seattle. I know in the classroom. I also have stuff from Denver and Oregon and on the East Coast.
And we actually, there was a place just north of New York City where a very, very prosperous local community where they're actually doing this. And, you know, of course, they were actually really recruiting children into the occult.
Absolutely.
People say it couldn't happen in our schools. Ladies and gentlemen, it is happening in our schools, some of our schools, and soon it will be in all of our schools because, of course, those in charge, many of them come from the dark side. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Question or comment?
Two questions. One, what happens to the teachers that don't go along with that?
A lot of them got canned. I know teachers back in the 80s and 90s when I was touring who were trying not even to give money to the NEA, and they would be kicked out of their school for supporting witchcraft.
Okay. Well, I was wondering, do you have any information on the Montauk Project?
I do not. There's plenty of books out there. I'm writing a book on MK Ultra and a lot of the experiments. I know about Montauk, but it's not anything I have written on.
What is the Montauk Project?
Montauk is a mind control device out of Montauk, New York. It was used mind control. They were playing with time-space continuum. They were doing all kinds of things along those lines. There's a series of books out on Montauk, and I'm trying to remember them. name of it right now, and I can't see my bookshelf. I do have one of them.
All right. I think our listeners have to know they had all these mind control projects, Artichoke, Bluebird, Delta, MK Ultra, MK Naomi. I'm sure you can probably mention a lot more.
Marionette.
Monarch, really.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what are they doing? They're learning how to control the minds of people, and some of it, of course, delves into the occult approaches and how you can tap into this mysterious force. I've just got a list today in a book we'll be discussing tomorrow called Regicide. In the back of the book, there is a list of CIA assets. It comes from one of the CIA officers who died, and they had a list of all the CIA assets. One of them was a man named Michael Aquino. Does that name mean anything to you?
Oh, yes.
Who is Colonel Michael Aquino of the military?
He was the first satanic chaplain in the military. He got Satanism listed as an official religion. He was also part of First Earth Battalion, which was him and Colonel Jim Shannon were involved in. That was training the military with Satanism. They had a whole manual on it. It was sponsored by Urantia Brotherhood and all kinds of different people, including Barbara Marx Hubbard, who owned Mark's Toy Company and owns a good piece of Toys R Us, I think still, who was a vice presidential candidate. And Aquino is noted for the kidnapping of little kids and has had some major problems with the law about that, but no one has ever got him to the point where he got convicted and sent to prison for it.
He always has very high friends, very important
Absolutely.
Friends in key places, and of course he's listed in this book, of CIA assets, right along with a fellow named Ted Koppel. Well, go ahead. We'll be talking more about that. That's for tomorrow. Anything else, Mike?
Well, speaking of Aquino, we now have an apparent heir to Anton LaVey's position, Peter H. Gilmore. I wondered if you know anything about him.
Don't know anything about him.
I've heard a little bit, but not enough to spout on the radio.
All right.
Just about a year ago, apparently.
All right. We have a lot of people from the dark side. They're out there, and they're in key positions, really, and many of them, of course, are in key positions in our military and our government, and people said that couldn't be going on, because if it was, why Ted Koppel would tell us.
One of the things about Anton LaVey's church, I think he had one kid that was going to take over. That's the last rumors I'd heard, is one of his kids was going to take over. I know his daughter is acting in his place right now.
Okay.
Well, this Gilmore person is described as a longtime friend and patron.
Right. Yeah, I know who the person is, but
really
I don't.
Young.
Yeah, but one of his kids was also one of his daughters, and his son was going to take
Zita
over.
Or what was her name?
I can't remember. I think it's Zena or something like that. I don't spend a lot of time on Anton LaVey. I spend a little bit more time on ritual Satanism and stuff because I've worked with survivors of ritual Satanism.
You were speaking regarding Montauk. You spoke of mind space. Do you know anything about maybe their interest in interplanetary travel?
They were interested in it, but I don't know enough to go into it on the radio. It's something I've looked into. It's something I don't believe they ever did, but there's a lot of people out there that do believe that. I have no idea. I haven't seen any documented proof.
But, of course, this all gets into the supernatural.
Absolutely.
And, of course, this is not being done certainly using the laws of physics at all, but there is a supernatural world out there. There is an angelic world. There is also a demonic world. And the fact that they don't tell us about that in the churches today, and they totally ignore the supernatural ministry of Jesus Christ, certainly he ministered to the people. He also ministered to demons. You remember when he came up against Legion over there at Gerizim, and of course he was able, and Legion recognized him right away. What would you have to do with us? But people don't like to talk about that because it makes them feel a little ill at ease. But you better understand what we're up against. We're up against a spiritual battle, a battle with unearthly things. Anything else, Mike?
That's all, thanks.
Okay, thanks so very much.
Absolutely. Even in your programming, they layer soul ties and try to layer in the generational sins and to build a spiritual tie as much as a physical tie and a chemical tie where they So you, when you come at somebody who is programmed, I have a tape called Programming 101, and it talks about how to work with survivors of mind control and MKUltra experiments.
Well, how do you work with them? How do you get to them? How do you get them, you know, these demonic forces? Because many of them really are demonically possessed, aren't they?
Absolutely. You have to work with deliverance. You have to work with detoxification and getting somebody on a good diet to pull out a lot of the toxins, because they used a lot of drugs in putting the programming in. There's also the psychological end of it. Not that I am very pro-psychiatry by any means, but there is some end of working with the split and the divide of the thing, but a lot of it is working with the spiritual realm, and if you don't know deliverance, you can't work with mind control. You know, that's the bottom line.
And I think really there are at least a few of the psychologists and psychiatrists who are beginning to recognize the demonic. And in fact, we have a friend who actually will be having on our program here, I think, in a couple of weeks. And it was her psychologist or psychiatrist who actually sent her to a man who has been working with this for 20 years, and we have interviews with him. And he was able, of course, to deliver from the demonic spirits that had been gotten into her when she was 3 years old. She came from a satanic ritual abuse family, a generational satanic family. They're out there, ladies and gentlemen. This is not something that comes from the X-Files. It's real.
Absolutely.
And you better understand it's real.
I've been working with Christian counselors for a very, very long time, back in the 70s and 80s, up in Christian Ministries, up in Seattle. I've also worked in Oregon with Christian counselors, and in Dallas, who believed in not only deliverance, but the whole round of detoxification and everything to get out of this. It's really hard to get out of MKUltra, and it's really hard to get out of these different programs, sub-programs, but, you know, a lot of them feel like marionette dolls that are on the strings, and they don't have control of themselves because of the demonic end, because of the drugs, because of the different things they did to them. And it takes a lot of work and deliverance and detoxification and so on to get through it.
Did you ever see that program on television? It was called the Pretender?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
It's very accurate in a lot of ways. I have worked with survivors in that situation where they don't know who they are. They've been adopted out and given out, and they don't have a background. And a lot of the monarch was set up that way. Monarch is set up in a monarchy where they were using bloodlines and they were interbreeding, and that was what Mengele was in, started through the eugenics program. That was one of the reasons why they brought him over, was to teach about the breeding of humans for to make super soldiers and super CIA agents. And they were doing that in MKUltra, and that's part of the documents I'm going to bring out in my book.
Well, I think I am looking forward to reading the book when you get it done. We're just about out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners today? Why don't you get your website out again?
Yeah, that's one of them. If you want more information on MKUltra or how to work with programming, I have videos and audios up on my website, which is psychops, psychops.com. My mailing address is up there. If you don't want to use Visa or MasterCard, you can mail me a check. And thank you for the time again. I really appreciate it.
All right, fine. Well, we'll be talking to you again on some of the other programs. Appreciate you being with us.
Oh, no problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And a lot of people out there are going to say, well, yeah, this sounds like Art Bell. Well, these are the things that Art Bell isn't going to tell you, because Art Bell is not going to tell you that this is the battle between God and Satan, that Jesus Christ is real, that every Satanist knows he's real. He knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. And, of course, that's why everything they do is the mirror image of Christianity. And until the Christians of this country understand what we're up against, they think that this is a political battle and all we have to do is elect a Christian president. Well, I think we're in for some very difficult times in the weeks and months that lie ahead because of the ignorance of so many of our people. And so we ask you to pray for America and to pray for understanding, to pray for certainly our ministers, for our leaders, for the people coming to a personal relationship with our Lord. We need revival. And then we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. So until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Robert Smith.